morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Drop in the Gloves. Thanks for joining us. Tim's got a little smirk on his face. I don't know why. He loves my intros. He always gets a little grin on his face. It makes me a little nervous. But all that aside, thanks for joining us, Tim. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I thought you were going to start with Tim's mad at me because I was late today, because I am mad at you because you were late today. That's why I was smirking. But
I was late because my wife had her doctor's appointment for her baby.
Our baby. Which you got to the office around 10:15, and we said we were going to record at 11. So
yeah, I was a little late. Yeah, I already apologized, and he's bringing it up again.
Yeah, but they didn't hear it. I need everyone else to hear it too.
All right. Well, I'm sorry, Tim. Let's move on. Trades, Tim. Trades are happening. What was the first trade that happened yesterday?
Yeah, the first domino fell. We're going to spend the bulk of this episode talking about the rumors, and we approach Friday's deadline. But the first trade went through in the last couple of days. Anthony Mantha was traded from Washington to Vegas for a second-round pick and a fourth-round pick. And the Capitals retained 50% of his $5.7 million salary. So it'll only be 2.85 against the books for Vegas. Great trade so far. I mean, I think he's probably going to start on the third line with Roy and Cotter. But he's obviously had some skilled years in the past. He's been a goal scorer. He can move up and down the lineup. So what are your thoughts on this, John?
I really don't know what to think. It's a great move for Vegas. They obviously have injuries. They have Stone out. You have Eichel out. You need have some needs there. And you have, luckily, some cap room to maneuver with because of Stone on LTIR. I just don't know if I'm sold on Anthony Mantha. He came into this league as just as big 6'5", 235-pound power forward coming out of, what was he, playing in the Q, lighting up. I think he had 120 points in the Q for Valdor. Like, just a very exciting prospect. And he just hasn't really impressed me to a point where I'm like, this guy's going to be a difference maker. He's a good player. I will say that. But he won't come in and drastically change the Vegas Golden Knights' odds, I think. I don't think he's going to have a big of an impact, as I think a lot of other people are, just because he has that name. People, for some reason, attach on him. Oh, this guy puts up massive points. No, he doesn't. Like, he's an effective power forward. I think if he stays on the third line, that's a good spot for him. If they try to push him second and first line, I don't think he's that guy. I really don't. He's more of a secondary attack type player. He will help third, fourth line win you a Stanley Cup if that's where he's going to live. But if you expect him to come in and put up some points and, you know, jump in alongside those guys with Vegas, I don't know. I think there are more moves to be made there. But all in all, good trade. He's a better player than what they were putting out there yesterday. But don't you think Mantha just... You expect to look at his stats, or you watch him play, and it's like, from what you hear from him, this guy's going to be a good player. You know, control the game, power forward, use his size, and he just doesn't do that for me. I know his time in Washington was a failure for everybody involved. They gave up a first, a second. They got rid of some salaries, but it wasn't great. That first-round pick they gave up was Wyatt Johnson, who's now, like, lighting it up in Dallas. So it was a very impactful player. Like, he's averaging 28 points in Washington over his 4 years. A year, Tim. 28 points a year. That's not going to cut it. So, depends on how they play him. That's the caveat there.
Well, the good thing is he's not going to have to take on too big of a responsibility in Vegas because they've got the horses up top. And he's actually had a sneaky good year. He has 20 goals, 34 points in 56 games this year for a Capitals team that's not very good, that doesn't score a lot. And he's not even playing in their top six for most of the year. In fact, he's actually been playing on the fourth line for a good chunk of the year. So even though he's getting 14 minutes, it's not a great 14 minutes. So I feel like if you give him, you put him in the right position, I don't know, could you see him end up being like Barbashev last year, like the quietest but most valuable piece that gets traded at the deadline? Or do you feel like that's not a fair comparison?
I don't think he'll be the most valuable, but what do we say every single year? It takes a solid third line to win a Stanley Cup. We see it, you know, year in and year out. Last year with the Vegas Golden Knights, they had Chandler Stephenson. They had all these guys who were, even Barbashev, he was up on the first line. But Chandler Stephenson really did a lot of work for that team when they would roll out Carlson or Eichel and Stone for the first two lines. That Stephenson third line was deadly. So I even want to say Carlson was on the third line last year for Vegas. I can't remember how the lines worked out, but yeah, he'll be good. If they just keep him on the third line, he'll be a valuable asset for them. But I don't see him being like the biggest impactful MVP pickup. I think those players are still waiting to be traded just yet, Tim.
Well, Mantha will be a UFA at the end of the season, so he'll hit the open market. He's definitely a true rental unless, you know, things change in Vegas. But what's interesting, you mentioned Eichel. He was activated over the weekend, so he's playing again. So he's going to count against the book. He never came off the books. But Vegas, with Stone on the LTIR, still has about $4.5 million to play with approaching this week. So we could see them make another move or two, which I think they probably will.
Oh, you would think they have to. They're right in their window. They're going to potentially back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. This is not the first, or this won't be the last move that they make. This team will be active. I see them. Do they go up front? Do they go on the back end? I know offense, like you mentioned, has been somewhat of an issue this year. The goaltending is set with Thompson and Aiden Hill. But where do you see their biggest need this year?
I think they're going to add more pieces up front. I think they're still trying to figure out what Stone's timeline is going to be. And their defense is so good with Petrangelo and Theodore and McNabb. Like, they've got those workhorses back there. I think probably you see them add another forward, who I think we're going to talk about in a little bit, my prediction for who that's going to be.
Yeah, I agree. Their back end, I think it's the same as last year. Haggy's just a beast back there. That guy's a big dude. Scary. All right, moving on, Tim. What are we talking about next?
I want to let everyone know that this episode was brought to you by Bet99, voted the number one online gambling experience in Canada with same game parlays, player props, and flash bet markets. Elevate your experience at Bet99. My pick recommendation right now, your old buddy, your old teammate, Anthony Duclair is red hot right now. He has 5 goals in his last 4 games. He has two different two-goal games. He's putting up, I think, 4 of those are on the power play, like really, really good. And the Sharks have the Islanders, Senators, and Flyers coming up. So you know they're going to score a couple of goals. And I would say Duke would be part of that. So it's a great pick right now. In order to play with Bet99, you need to be 19+, play responsibly, available to people in Ontario only. Bet99 is built by Canadians for Canadians.
Sorry, so USA.
Let's get into why people are listening today, which is the trade rumor frenzy, the rumors, the things that are happening, all the reports that are coming out. Let's start with Jake Guentzel. What do you want to say about that?
The rumor mill is heating up. This guy is going to be gone, and it could be tomorrow. Frank Cervalli, Darren Dreger, all these guys are saying the market on Guentzel is going to happen, and it's going to trade. The trade will happen most likely tomorrow. People are kicking the tires, but rumor has this, Sid the Kid's not too happy about it. He's maybe a, and this is the tricky tightrope that Kyle Dubas has to walk, because you don't want to upset your best player, but at the same time, you want to make the team better for next year. So he's going to have to toe that line really, really, really carefully. But yeah, they're going to get a good return to this kid. They want a first, they want a young player, they want a prospect, they want everybody, basically. They want an NHL caliber player plus a first round draft pick. What are some teams kicking the tires on Jake Guentzel today, Tim?
Well, Vancouver's certainly in on them, but Frank tweeted out that sources don't, it's a cold market right now for Guentzel. It's a slow market because of the asking price. There's a handful of teams interested, but the acquisition cost combined with him being a pure rental has dampened the market. And by that, I mean the several reports that Jake doesn't want to extend with whoever he signs with. He wants to test the free agency waters this summer. He wants to be a UFA, which means if you're giving him up, there's really no guarantee at all that you're going to be able to retain him long term, which reduces his value, or at least limits the options, or maybe both. And so right now, for example, I mentioned Vancouver. The asking price is too high for them. Vancouver doesn't want to trade Lekimaki or Willander, and Pod Colson alone isn't going to get the deal done. These are some of the names they've discussed between the two teams. The other thing about Vancouver that's really interesting, I don't know if you saw this, I forget who put it out, but the Canucks believe to be among those pursuing Guentzel. Word is they've had discussions about potentially flipping the guy they just traded for last week, Elias Lindholm, to the Bruins as part of the machinations to make the Guentzel deal happen. So what they're saying is basically that they got Lindholm because they weren't sure if they were going to be able to get Pettersson locked up long term. And he was sort of insurance for Pettersson. But now that they have him, Lindholm sort of becomes expendable, especially if you're looking to add a scoring winger. So the guy that they traded for not 10 days ago could end up being flipped again at the deadline. What do you make of that?
No, it makes sense for me. They've had him for a few weeks now. He's played, I want to say he's played 14 games. Or how many games has he played in Vancouver? I know he's got 4 goals, 2 assists. decent numbers for him, but I think they expect more. He hasn't really gelled with any of the line mates they put him with. He's a centerman. He's not going to be at the first line center. That's Pettersson's spot. He's not being a second line centerman. That's JT Miller. So he will be a third line centerman. Do you really want to invest that much in a third line centerman when you could flip him and get like a first line winger and pair him up with Elias Pettersson? So to me, it makes a lot of sense where Boston was always in on Lindholm. If you could flip him to Boston, maybe get a draft pick, maybe get a prospect. You could pair Podkolzin with a first rounder that you already traded away. That makes a lot more sense for Vancouver. So I like that they're actually kicking the tires on this because Lindholm, like you said, it was an insurance factor for Pettersson. Now that you have him locked up, it's almost too much of a luxury to have that many good centermen on your roster because you can trade Lindholm, you can move Teddy Bluger up where he rightfully should be with Connor Garland when Dakota Joshua comes back. That's your third line. Then you can figure out the fourth line centerman. I think that would make a lot of sense for the Vancouver Canucks. So if I'm their GM, if I'm Alvin, I'm definitely exploring this because you really would like a primo winger. I know you have Suter, you have Hoglander, you have Makiev, you have those guys playing alongside Pettersson. Jake Guentzel is much better than those guys, and he's used to playing with high-end talent. He's been playing with Crosby his whole career, so he knows how to finish. He knows how to play around really high-end talent. So I would be on the phone big time trying to make this happen because that would vault them. I know Lindholm was a big get. Guentzel would be very effective on this team. Very, very effective.
From a personal perspective, though, just for Lindholm, the person, like, how frustrating is this if you were to be traded twice in 2 weeks? Like, is this totally disruptive to your family and, like, your mindset, or is this just part of business?
It's just how it goes. I doubt his family's even there. I'm sure they're still in Calgary. They were there for a long time. They have a network and a, you know, community around them, I would assume. So maybe they came out and visited, but maybe Vancouver's close. They flew in. But again, you go from Vancouver, first in the Pacific, you go to Boston, top three in the East. So you're still going to Stanley Cup contenders. You're still in a good situation. I don't feel too bad for him. It's like when Brendan Shanahan asked me if I would like to, how would you feel if you were Louis Erickson in our face-to-face meeting in the offices in New York for the NHL, whatever, wherever their offices were. He goes, how would you like to be a Louis Erickson right now? I thought about it and I said, I'd be pretty happy. You know, he makes $7 million a year and he's signed for the next 5 years. And he says, don't be a smartass. And I'm like, I'm not. I'm just answering your question honestly. I would feel pretty good if I was Louis Erickson right now. All things considered. Today might be a bad day. But overall, doing pretty good, right? Like, I'm doing pretty good. He did not like that answer. He was upset. He wanted me to have some, like, introspection and be like, you know what? You're right. I feel terrible that I did this to this human being. But I wasn't. I was like, I would be happy to be him. He seems like he's got it all figured out. Anyways, well, yeah, just Lindholm will be fine.
The last thing on Lindholm before we move on is that reportedly that Vancouver's had some discussions with him about extension and it didn't go very far. So I don't know if they're thinking about term or numbers or what, but probably that has something to do with the fact that his name is coming up in rumors again. So we'll see over the next 48 hours what that turns out to be. Okay, next player here, Noah
Hannafin. Well, let's go back. Pump the brakes.
Okay.
Would this be a good move for Boston, getting this guy? The centerman you've always wanted ever since Bergeron's gone, Krejci's gone. Do you like this deal for the Bruins if they go ahead with it?
I like the player. I'm just nervous about overpaying. I don't want to give up a first for Hannafin. I just don't. I don't think that.
Not Hannafin for Lindholm.
Lindholm. Yeah, I just don't think it gets you closer, that much closer for what you're giving up. Especially just, we have our centers. Lazaka and Coyle are both really good right now. And so maybe you have three equally first lines if you had Lindholm and you just kind of rotate them, roll them through. But I don't know. It's just not worth it to me, unless the price is right.
Well, the price will be a first rounder, you would think, because that's what Vancouver had to give up to get him. They gave up a first, or what did they give up? They gave up a first, a fourth, and a couple players, but they will want a first rounder back from him. They gave up Kuzmenko. They gave up a pretty good haul. So, no, you say no. Don't do it.
No. No.
Happy with, you mentioned Hannafin. What's going on with the Hannafin? Because this seems to be a linchpin, like everybody's talking about. Once this piece falls, then everybody else can plan accordingly. But everybody's trying to get at Noah Hannafin.
Yeah, Friedman said in the broadcast last night, in case there's any doubt, quote, no scenario where Hanifin remains with the Flames past the deadline. So this is like the best source saying 100% he's going to get traded. Right now, Tampa seemed like the most likely destination. The package could include prospects and pick, an NHL-ready player like it usually is, some combination of it all. But Vegas is also looking in on him. So like, I feel like any of the teams, I mean, you've heard Toronto, you've heard Boston. There's a lot of teams that are asking about him, and any, they're all making the call. But based on the situation right now, and reportedly he wants to go to Tampa. So Tampa looks like the number one spot, especially considering they lost Sergachev. They're going to be looking to replace that role. And Hanifin's very good defenseman. So probably that'll happen. But regardless of where he lands, it's not going to be Calgary by the weekend.
Yeah, I've heard that he's actually been in negotiations with Julian Brisebois. Calgary has allowed his agent to talk to teams about extensions because apparently it's really important. I don't know if it's important for Hanifin or the team acquiring him that they want to extend him. So there seems to be this holdup where Hanifin is holding the Calgary Flames hostage, where he's saying, I'm not going to do it unless I can sign an extension. So he's been talking to the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they have apparently an agreed upon extension. If he does go there, but I don't know why the deal hasn't happened yet. It makes perfect sense. You lose Sergachev and you bring in Hanifin. It's like a swap out. I don't think Hanifin's better than Sergachev, but pretty dang good. And that would make the Tampa Bay Lightning that much better. So I don't know. It has to happen. But then there's also been rumors that Tampa just used this window to negotiate a contract for when he becomes a UFA after this year. And they just completely just used the Calgary Flames to have an open-ended negotiation with their player and say, hey, after the season, will you come and play in Tampa Bay? No state tax. We have all these good players. We'll have Sergachev back. What are your thoughts? So there are some rumors that they did that, but that would be pretty sneaky for Julian Brisebois to pull the wool over the eyes on Craig Conroy. But we'll see how it pans out. I'm interested. We've got 2 days left because everybody seems to want this guy, but it doesn't seem like there's any offers on the table. I don't understand what's happening, but Noah Hanifin. He will be traded. That's the exciting thing.
It's going to happen. Okay, keep him going down the line. Tarasenko is probably the next name up in line. According to Pierre LeBrun, the Sens are asking for a first-round pick and another asset for Tarasenko. So a first plus a prospect or a young player. Tarasenko has a no-trade clause, a full no-trade clause, which means he can control the trades that he gets accepted for. And I was reading a quote from the head coach earlier this morning about just how impressed he is as a player. And he was basically talking about, and maybe there's a little bit of posturing for the trade market, but he's like, you think of him as a goal scorer, but he's such a complete player, the way that he plays the game, the way he backchecks and takes care of himself defensively and all that. He really surprised me this year. And so he's a good player and he's going to make a team a lot better. And it came down, actually, Friedman talked about a potential trade between Ottawa and Carolina and said, quote, they were really close on Tarasenko this year. So I wondered if that's something that would consider. I mean, the issue is that they tend not to like rentals, Carolina, at least not at the higher prices. And that quote kind of stands out to me because Carolina has, you know, they've been pretty quiet at deadlines the last few years, always adding a couple of small pieces. And we've talked about them needing like a finisher and needing a horse. And that's no knock against Aho because he's an elite player. And Svechnikov, when he's healthy, is a total impact player. But they've missed that guy. And they've lost series by not having that guy. And I don't know that Tarasenko is necessarily the answer, but he's probably the best option on the market, especially if you don't want to give up what it's going to take to get Gensel. So we could see a Carolina being a possibility there.
Carolina? That would be terrific for their roster. I think they definitely need some goal scoring. They've changed my mind, Tim. I think they can win the Stanley Cup. They've obviously always had a solid defense. Their goaltending is somewhat coming around. And I did not expect you to say the Carolina Hurricanes, but I like it. I like where your head's at.
It's Elliot. It's me quoting Elliot. But yeah, it's a possibility. That actually brings us to our next sponsorship. We've got another new sponsorship with Tim Hortons, and they're rolling out their awesome Roll Up to Win promotion for their 60th anniversary. You can play on the Tim's app to win prizes, daily cash jackpot of $10,000, all-electric Volkswagen ID4, and a sun-soaked Hilton getaway. Only until March 1st, and the CTA is go download the Tim's app and play the games. As for our partnership, this kind of ties in really well with my name being Tim. We're going to have a new segment called Tim's Take. I'm going to have a Tim's Take every single week, every episode, And my take for today is that Tarasenko is going to be traded to Vegas with some salary retained, but Vegas has the cap room to do it. And even though they've already added Mantha, I don't think they're done. And I think they really want Tarasenko. There's a little bit of chatter there. They can make it work cap-wise if Ottawa retained some of that salary. So I think Tarasenko is going to be headed to Vegas. That's my Tim's take of the day.
If that does come to fruition, if your Tim's take comes through, Vegas will be the odds-on favorite to win this Stanley Cup. 100%. They get Anthony Mantha, he shores up the third line. You put Tarasenko, and this is with or without Mark Stone coming back. I firmly believe they'll be just fine if Mark Stone doesn't come back. You have Carlson, second line center, Jack Eichel. You put Tarasenko with Barbashev and Jack Eichel. You put Tarasenko with Stevenson and Carlson. You got Marchessault up on the first line with Barbashev. That's a dangerous, dangerous duo there. And they all play the game the right way. Like, he's been playing fantastic in Ottawa, 200-foot game. He's responsible. He's been there. He's done that. And he is hungry to win another Stanley Cup. I feel like this would be a fantastic signing for him. He would be this year's Barbashev. He would go to Vegas, light it up, be a point per game in the playoffs, and just win the Conn Smythe, and away we go. I would love this pickup. I don't think he would have a big of an impact in Carolina. He fits perfectly with the Vegas Golden Knights. I think it would be a great fit. I like your take, Tim. I love it.
We'll see. Good. One more name I want to spend some time on is Tyler Toffoli. So we're going to talk about the Devils and moves they've made recently up front, but the GM, Tom Fitzgerald, said he's not shopping Tyler Toffoli, but teams are calling. They've talked about an extension with him. There's a possible term difference, so they probably don't want to give him some of the term that he's asking for. Could revisit after the deadline. They said he also could trade him before deadline. So a lot of wishy-washy, nothing declarative there. But what's interesting is that, and this is a quote that Wyshynski had a conversation with him, that trading Toffoli is basically admitting to the locker room that they're throwing the towel in on the season, which is black and white. And the season's most likely over in terms of playoff. They'd have to have about a 750 winning percentage the rest of the way and have like a certain, there are other teams that are competing for the wild card. Things not go their way. There's just too many ifs. And I don't see it this year. So if you're like, I know what your stance is on this. If you're not going to win the cup this year, then why wouldn't you try to get better and get younger? So we'll see what they do with Toffoli.
They have to trade him. There's no chance to make the playoffs. They're in seventh place in the Metro. They played two more games in Pittsburgh than Washington. They played more games than everybody. They're behind Pittsburgh, Washington, the Islanders, the Flyers. There's I don't want to say no chance, because there is a chance they go on to win the 18 or last 20. They have that talent, but man, what an impact Dougie Hamilton made on this team.
Yeah.
Big impact. He's been missing. He's been very, very much missed on this team. But you trade Tyler Toffoli. You trade him. Now, you get a first-rounder for him, then maybe you kick the tires on him in free agency. He's a 31-year-old forward. He's had a good long career. He's going to want $5, $6 million. You do not have that in the piggy bank to go sign this guy. You cannot sign him. He is going to age like milk. It's going to go bad. It's going to go fast. I think he has like two or three good years in him. Trade him. I like him going to L.A. I honestly do. Reunite him with the Los Angeles Kings. I think they have a lot of prospects. They have some draft capital. Go over there. Send him back to L.A. I think he would be a fantastic fit for that team. What do I know?
You know who he makes me think re-signing of? He makes me think of Oshie and a little bit even Justin Williams, where it's like he's not going to put up a ton of points, but the goals that he scores are going to be big ones. Like, he's going to show up in the playoffs. He's going to score an overtime goal. It's not like the numbers are crazy, but he's still going to be a valuable player. In the limited role. So we'll see, you know, where he goes.
Yeah, he played great with Montreal when they had that bubble run. He was fantastic. Then when they won the cup with the Kings, he was almost a point per game guy. Like, he was very valuable. Like you mentioned, big time plays. So, yeah. LA Kings, give him a call. He's still available.
So now I'm going to kind of get into a little bit of a rapid fire, just a whole bunch of rumors and reports, and just kind of go through all of them. The first one is one of your favorite players, Tony D'Angelo's name has come up. The Canes are asking for a fifth-round pick, and they're willing to eat 50% of his salary to get rid of him. So someone's going to ask for him. I don't know why they wouldn't. How do you make sense of this?
The enigma of Tony D'Angelo still, I shake my head at it, because why do teams constantly, you get him, he produces, and then you want him gone. He doesn't make a lot of money. He makes $1.6 million. He's good on the power play. He puts up points. Last year with Philly, he put up 42. The year before with Carolina, he put up 51. This year, they've only given him 27 games. healthy scratch. We don't want him on the ice. He's put up 10 points. He must be the worst human being in the locker room, like, ever. A right-handed shooting, puck-moving defenseman is a luxury teams would just be dying to get. He can't keep a team, Tim. Arizona, Rangers, Carolina, Flyers, Carolina again. I want to get him on the show. I'm like, what's the issue? Why do you keep burning bridges so fast with these teams? Like, what's going on? But yeah, a team would be lucky to have him. I'll say it. I'm a DeAngelo fan. I've always liked his game. People don't like the way he cut of his jib. Is it jib or jibe?
Jib. How about Toronto? Wouldn't that be a great fit? No? Putting up points.
It would be, but I don't see him working out with that group. I really don't.
Maybe not.
They're a little more Madison Avenue. Tony DeAngelo's, you know, he's not Madison Avenue.
He's, yeah, Flagstaff, Arizona. Okay.
Very much Dallas, Texas. You catch my drift. And I think you do.
The next one, Alex Tuch, is a name that's popped up a little bit. Reportedly, the Rangers and the Bruins have both been asking about him. He would be a great pickup. He's such a good player. He's a heavy body. He's got a heavy shot. He can play a lot of roles and still put up points. Yeah, I think a team would be lucky to have him.
Oh, my gosh. Here's a guy who he still has a decent amount on his salary. He's got 2 years left at 4.75. And for a 27-year-old massive mountain of a man who can win faceoffs, who can do it in the playoffs. We saw what he did with Vegas. Yeah. I didn't even know he was on the market. I guess Buffalo has to make some type of move. Is he, or the teams are just kicking the tires on him?
I think it's the second one. I don't know if they're shopping him, but people are asking. And if where there's smoke, there's fire with these things. So you could see him being flipped. I don't think he's probably a long shot compared to some of the other names we'll talk about, but it's happening. Oh, it's out there.
If he is even an iota available, he would be my number one forward I would go after. This is a guy who's made for playoffs. He caught my eye in the Vegas when they won the cup a few years back. He was absolutely incredible, lugging the puck through the neutral zone, not afraid of getting blown up. He was really good. So if they can manage a way to get that guy, oh my gosh, he's so good. He's a point per game player. Oops. He's Buffalo good. Shouldn't trade him. That would be bad. Unless they can get some like really, really good players. All right, what else, Tim?
Well, Darren Dreger said there's a lot of noise surrounding Linus Ullmark, and there's also a lot of noise about an incoming extension for Jeremy Swayman somewhere in the $7 million range. One of the spots they're talking about is the Devils. Apparently, so the Devils reportedly want Markstrom, obviously, first, but Ullmark is also in the mix there. And I feel like we've talked about this before, but I feel like it's actually probably going to happen. I think we're going to see Bruins trade Ullmark in the next 2 days. That's a little bit of a bold statement, but there's a lot of chatter there.
He played good last night versus the Oilers. And a really good game. What are your thoughts on that? He was so good for you guys last year, won the Vezina. Obviously have Swayman. It's a luxury to have two good goaltenders. What do you think? Are you okay with that, Tim?
It's the same example you mentioned with Vancouver. It's just a luxury that you don't feel like you can afford or need. When the roster has other needs and you have two excellent goalies, you can only play one at a time. I trust Swayman completely. He has 100% confidence for me, and I think most Bruins fans. And Ullmark, that's not a knock against him. He's been so good. He was so good last year. He's still one of the better goalies in the league this year, but it makes too much sense to trade him and go address some of the needs on your roster. And there's so many teams that would love to have a goalie, and he's still under contract, like the New Jersey. So I feel like that's probably – I think you're going to see him go.
Yeah, return on goaltenders aren't usually high. They don't usually get traded. It's kind of a rare thing for that to happen, especially a goalie of his caliber. But I agree. Time for him to go. Swayman's going to want 7. It's a good number.
Yeah.
It's a good number. Good for him. All right, Jason Zucker held out of the lineup versus the Coyotes, and he was very happy because the Coyotes caught garbage.
Yeah.
What's that? Yeah, he was very happy. Yeah, I know. They didn't let him play versus the Chicago Blackhawks, thankfully, because the Blackhawks beat the Coyotes, and the Blackhawks haven't won a game, I want to say, since January. They went into Arizona and absolutely just dominated, scored 4 power play goals. And the Chicago Blackhawks power play is atrocious. Like, I'm talking, they're clipping along at a 6% success rate. Like, they're really bad. They go in Arizona, Our friend, Liam O'Brien, takes a stupid penalty. Power play goal, power play goal, power play goal. Four power play goals. They lose to the vaunted Chicago Blackhawks. Well, Jason Zucker got to watch that debacle from the press box because he's being held out for trade reasons. Shucker. He's a good little forward. He'd be a good second, third line player for a team to pick up. I like Zucker. I skated with him in the summer. He's one of those guys that he's kind of like a geek. You know what I mean? And he knows it. And so he leans into it. And he just accepts the fact that not a lot of guys like him. But he's just, he's a good little player. Yeah.
Come on. Not that they don't like him. It's probably just that he's not cool. If you're saying that, that's different from saying people don't like him.
They don't like him. Stop trying to cover for me. Someone compared us to, someone compared us to Don Cherry and Ron McLean. I'm Don and you're Ron. I kind of see it because I'll say something. You go, well, no, John, that's not. I wholeheartedly know that people didn't like him, but he embraces it. It is what it is. You don't have to like everybody. The world's not perfect. There are people you won't get along with. And Jason Zucker is one of those guys. I like him. All right. Barry Trotz, what is he saying, Tim?
Yeah, kind of a funny quote here. He's the Predators GM. He said the prices are ridiculous for what general managers are asking for players for rentals and all that. But I'm a rookie GM. I don't know a whole lot. I like that.
I like that a lot. Well, you're going to ask for the world, right?
Yeah. First time
out. And especially your rookie GM, they're going to try to fleece him. Maybe he'll pay it. Who knows?
I want two firsts for Gensel. Just for you.
What is he doing buying the Predators? Just stand pat. You had a good year. Don't go messing things up for next year.
They won all
these games. What are we doing?
Yeah, Alex Barabanov. For the Sharks, reportedly wants to join a cup contender. They're shopping him. He's not a very good player. This one's kind of a joke. Like everyone's talking about on Twitter. It's like he's, you know, he just doesn't make a team much better. But his name's out there. We could see a guy, you know, a depth addition somewhere.
Shocker. He doesn't want to play in San Jose. He wants to be on a contender. Yeah. Wow. Wow, the Beatles
broke. The last thing here, a quote from Lou Lamoriello said, if we can add, we will. Are we going to subtract? Absolutely not. The Islanders are not sellers going into the deadline. They are not in the playoffs yet. They still have a chance for it. And they're going to just see what they can do with this group.
No, think? It's smart. Par for the course. This guy is the best hockey mind that we have. And he's just proving it again. You see, honestly, Tim, he's the worst. Like, I don't know why people don't critique him more. Is it not so dumb for him to say this? We're not going to subtract. Why? Why? You're going to win the cup? Are you even going to make the playoffs, Lou? No? And then you're going to show up for camp next year, and it's just the same group of players you have for the last 15 years. You're going to have Clutterbuck, Martin, Nelson, and Lee, and everybody's the same. I just don't understand it. I really don't get how he still has a job. I really don't. He's leaning into those early cups with the Devils. He's really leaning into it. Wears the rings all the time around the rink, I hear. Speaking of the Devils.
Yeah. Perfect transition. The Devils fired Lindy Ruff yesterday or the day before. They handed the interim job to Travis Green, who was formerly with the Canucks. He's the assistant here, and he's taken over right away. Does this trade make sense to you? I mean, did this move make sense to you right away?
It's too little too late. There's no time to come back from this. And then poor Travis Green's first game is versus the Florida Panthers, and they just get worked. So I don't know. I like Lindy Ruff. I had him in Buffalo. Good coach. He just signed a new deal this year, too, because of the work he did last year with him. So he's going to get paid for the next few years. But, yeah, there are some changes. Let's see what he does with Timo Meier. What is he going to do with him? Going to give him a little more ice time, a little more power play time? I don't know. Line matchups? Overload, like they do at Edmonton with McDavid and Draisaitl on the first line? Maybe put Jack Hughes and Nico Hirschire together? There are some things he could do, but it's too little too late. Should have did it a month ago.
Yeah. This guy's had a roller coaster career where he was getting fired or booed for being fired at the beginning of last year. And by the end of the year, he was in the winning for the coach of the year.
They were chanting his name.
Right. Just adoring him. And now here he is down at the bottom of the pit again. So, yeah.
All right. Let's make sense. Some quick hits, Tim, and get out of here.
The first one here, for a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order with DoorDash of $15 or more. Use the promo code NATION25, all capitals, valid in Canada, subject to change, terms may apply. Just a couple here. There's word this morning that Washington is closing in on a 5-year extension with Rasmus Sandin in the mid $4 million range. Not particularly noteworthy in any way, but just keep an eye on that if you're a Caps fan.
I think that came through. They did sign him.
Did it? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in the second thing here. Perfect. Per Derek Lalonde, the Red Wings coach, Dylan Larkin's out for approximately 2 weeks with a lower body injury. That could be a big deal. The Devils, I mean, the Red Wings are fighting for their lives for the hang on to that second wild card spot. And it could slip away from them if they lose a couple of games because they're missing arguably their best player. So something to keep an eye on if you're a Wings fan.
The good thing for the Wings, guess who is the active point streak leader right now in the NHL? Most points in consecutive games.
Is it Kaner?
Patrick Kane. 10 games in a row. Wow.
How many?
Unbelievable.
How many games?
10, I think it is.
Wow.
Yeah. There you go.
Pretty good. They should keep him around.
They should re-sign him. I knew it was going to be a hit signing as soon as they did it. I was all on board with the Iser plan. Still am.
Stop it.
I'm going to get a tattoo. Red Wings Cup 2025. It's going to be great. The guy knows what he's doing, Tim.
He knows you an apology, huh?
He hates me. He doesn't like me.
At least he knows who you are.
He does. He hates me, though. All right, I don't hate you guys for listening. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening. We're going to have a fun little show on Friday. Trade deadline. We might do some different stuff. We'll keep you posted on that. But, yeah, come back on Friday. It's going to be a good one. Cheers, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.